From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point. Well, it happened. President Trump fired Attorney General Jeff Sessions. It was a fraught relationship, to say the least, ever since Sessions recused himself from overseeing Robert Mueller's investigation of the Trump campaign and Russian election interference. Now, the president has tapped an acting attorney general who's been clear about his desire to put the brakes on Mueller's work. Last year, talk of Trump firing Sessions made both Democrats and Senate Republicans deeply uncomfortable. But has that calculus changed now with the GOP's expanded majority in the Senate? So this hour on Point, Trump fires Sessions and what happens next? And you can join us. What do you think? Does the president, and in this particular case, does President Trump have the right to fire his attorney general? Does he have a duty to the country not to? What impact do you think yesterday's moves could have or will have on Robert Mueller's investigation? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Well, joining me first today in the studio is Margaret Taleb. She's senior White House correspondent for Bloomberg News and currently a fellow at the Harvard Kennedy School's Institute of Politics. She's also a board member and past president of the White House Correspondents Association and the Washington Press Club Foundation. Margaret Taleb, it's good to have you back.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Okay, so your first thoughts on the president's, I'm calling it a firing, even though Sessions resigned, although he said he did so at the president's request.
Yeah, he was fired. I talked to a number of folks yesterday on both sides of the aisle and said, how surprised were you that this happened? And nobody said they were surprised. Zero on a scale of 1 to 10 was the answer that I got. The question is, what is it going to mean? What is it going to mean both in terms of the course, longevity, funding stream available to Robert Mueller as he completes his investigation? And what is it going to mean in terms of whom the president ultimately chooses to replace the attorney general? Will it be someone with a strong legal background? Will it be essentially a political pick, someone who's been a political champion of the president and has, some legal credentials? Will it be a mix of the two? And given the increased Republican majority in the Senate mm-hmm. and the kind of hardened Republican majority in the Senate, where the sway of the kind of quote-unquote traditional holdouts like Lisa Murkowski or Susan Collins have been diminished, where Jeff Flake is gone, where Senator McCain, of course, is in a better place. What does that tell us about what any confirmation process would be like going forward?
So let's listen to a little bit of the president yesterday. This is during that yet another remarkable press conference he gave. And he was asked, I should say this was at the press conference before Sessions' ouster was made public. But the president was asked if he now saw an opportunity to remove Special Counsel Robert Mueller and to end the Russia probe. And here's what President Trump said.
I could have ended it any time I wanted. I didn't. And there was no collusion. There was no anything. I didn't. They went after hackers in Moscow. I don't know about that. They went after people with tax problems from years ago. They went after people with loans and other things. Had nothing to do with my campaign. This is a investigation where many, many millions of dollars has been spent. And there's no collusion. It was supposed to be on collusion. There's no collusion. And I think it's very bad for our country.
That's President Donald Trump just yesterday. Margaret, stand by here for just a second here, because I want to turn to Joaquin Castro. He's a Democratic congressman representing Texas's 20th district. He won re-election on Tuesday for his fourth term. Representative Castro is going to be a majority member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence and also serves on the Foreign Affairs Committee. And he joins us today from San Antonio, Texas. Congressman Castro, welcome to On Point.
Thanks for having me.
So now that the Democrats have a majority beginning in January in the House, first of all, what do you think Democrats are going to do, if anything, in response to the president firing Attorney General Jeff Sessions?
Well, the first thing is that we need to understand how exactly it came about and the reasons for firing Jeff Sessions. But also, we need to make sure that we protect the Mueller investigation. I saw some promising statements yesterday from a few Republican senators, including Mitt Romney, about making sure that the Mueller investigation is protected. There was a move afoot in the Senate a few months ago that the president basically squelched that would have protected the Mueller investigation. So the most important thing that Congress could do is make sure that even though the president is swapping out attorneys general, that the investigation itself continues and the integrity of the investigation is protected.
So, Congressman, that move that you're talking about, you're referring to the Special Counsel Independent Protection Act that was advanced out of the Senate Judiciary Committee in April by a 14-7 vote. Is that what you're referring to?
That's right.
Yeah.
It looked promising. It looked like it could have gone somewhere, and then I think the White House came down on the Republican majority, and it didn't happen.
Right. Well, because Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell vowed never to put that on the floor, ever, and I don't anticipate that changing now with the expanded GOP majority in the Senate. So on the House side things, though, come January, could House Democrats force something to advance originating on the House side?
Well, I think that, you'll see us take it up fairly early, an effort to protect the Mueller investigation. So I would say yes, I would expect to see it in the House.
Okay. And so then tell me a little bit more about what you plan to do, or if anything, on the Intelligence Committee in the House. Because, I mean, we're seeing different Democrats who will be chairing different committees starting to speak out. Representative Elijah Cummings just said he's going to be the ranking Democrat on the House Oversight Committee. He said in a statement
right.
that Congress needs to investigate the real reason for the termination and also confirm that the president's new acting attorney general, Matthew Whitaker, is recused from all aspects of the special counsel's probe. Anything like that you think you anticipate could be coming out of the Intelligence Committee?
Well, the chairs of the different committees, Judiciary, Intelligence, Oversight, will have to get together and decide, along with the Speaker, decide on the jurisdiction, basically who gets to oversee whatever we're dealing with, including that possible investigation. That sounds something that's closer to the Oversight Committee rather than the Intelligence Committee, but that's just my take. I think out of the Intelligence Committee, you'll see, as Adam Schiff said a few nights ago, that we're not going to start from zero. We spent the better part of 2 years investigating Russia collusion, money laundering, obstruction of justice issues. So I think you'll see the committee take up any important unanswered questions from the investigation that just happened over the past 2 years. I'll give you one concrete example that's been talked about before on whether the president had any information or knew or helped plan the June 2016 Trump Tower meeting, is that when that meeting was being set up, there were two phone calls to set it up, and sandwiched between those two phone calls is a call to a block number, a call from a block number. And there's a question there as to whether that call came from the president. We know from other testimony that the president, one of the president's phone lines is a blocked number. So it's things like that that we need to go back and figure out.
Okay. One more question for you, Congressman, if I may. I mean, I know speculation is a terrible game to play in Washington, but in the past 24 hours, here's what we do know so far, that Jeff Sessions is out and the president has put in Matthew Whitaker as the acting attorney general. And to be clear, Whitaker has said on previous occasions that he wants the Mueller investigation to grind to a halt. And there are multiple ways in which he could do that. So in the event that that happens, though, what would the response be from Democrats? Would you respond? How would you respond?
That's a great question. I certainly hope that it doesn't happen. We would at that point, I think, take action. Basically, we would do everything that we can to protect the investigation, first of all. If we're not able to do that and they start the investigation or they somehow derail it, then I think that you would see more calls for impeachment. I think that folks have been waiting basically for Bob Mueller's report because you've got to be able to act on something, you've got to be able to get a report and then act on those items. But that would certainly, as Chuck Schumer alluded to yesterday, create a kind of constitutional crisis, because at that point the president would be saying, nobody's going to investigate me, nobody's going to look into any of this, I'm above all of it constitutionally, and the Congress, the legislative branch, cannot let that happen.
Yeah. Well, Congressman Joaquin Castro, Democratic congressman representing Texas's 20th district, he'll be a majority member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, joining us today from San Antonio, Texas. Congressman Castro, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Margaret Talev, do you think we're headed towards a constitutional crisis here?
That's a really big word, right? It's a really big term. But I think it's clear after the midterm elections that the president right now is in a mood to challenge critics or questioners or anybody that he perceives as standing in the way of his agenda. I think what we don't know yet is how that's going to play out. And I think Democrats are doing what either party would do if they had just retaken a chamber, which is try to organize and figure out how can they serve that pushback function without overplaying their hand and playing into the president's plans to use them as a foil to ensure his reelection bid. So that's the balancing act. That's the political balancing act. I think there is a separate policy question about executive power and about how the president will attempt to increase his use of executive power now that he has less legislative power. And right. And I think that's what the congressman's talking about.
Well, Margaret, hang on here for just a second, because I want to bring in one more voice here to spend the rest of the hour with us. Jeff Pagés joins us. He's CBS News justice and homeland security correspondent, author of Compromat, How Russia Undermined American Democracy. And he's with us from Washington. Jeff, welcome to On Point.
Hi.
It's great to have you. I know you've had a busy morning, a busy day already today. We just got about 30 seconds here before the break, so I want to give you your first crack at it, your first thoughts on Jeff Sessions being pushed out.
Well, obviously, this is another development that throws the Russia investigation for a loop. It's not as if this wasn't expected. I mean, the president has been forecasting this for some time, but for him to pull the trigger within hours of the midterm elections, well, that's what caught a lot of people off guard.
Well, the president definitely knows how to reshape a narrative at high speed. So we're going to talk a little bit more about Matt Whitaker, the person that the president has tapped to be acting attorney general in the interim. We'll do that when we come back. Jeff Pagés is with us again. He's with CBS News. He's the Justice and Homeland Security correspondent. Margaret Talev is also with us here in the studio. She's senior White House correspondent for Bloomberg News. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.
Support for the On Point podcast comes from Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform that lets you find candidates fast. Ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/onpoint. That's Indeed.com/onpoint. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking this hour about Jeff Sessions' ouster as Attorney General of the United States and what that means for the Mueller investigation. I'm joined this hour by Jeff Pagés. He's CBS News Justice and Homeland Security correspondent. Margaret Talev is also with us. She's senior White House correspondent for Bloomberg News. And I should note that we've got some word here that White House Counselor Kellyanne Conway is saying that the exit of Attorney General Sessions, quote, is not a constitutional crisis. And she was asked if the president had instructed Matt Whitaker, the acting attorney general now, to limit the Russian investigation. And Kellyanne Conway has said, quote, the president hasn't instructed him to do anything beyond serve as a acting attorney general. Well, back in July of 2017, Matthew Whitaker, though, again, he's now acting attorney general, he spoke to CNN about what could happen to Robert Mueller's Russia investigation if President Trump did indeed fire Attorney General Jeff Sessions. So this is Whitaker, July 2017.
I could see a scenario where Jeff Sessions is replaced with a recess appointment, and that Attorney General doesn't fire Bob Mueller, but he just reduces his budget so low that his investigation grinds to almost a halt.
That's Matthew Whitaker in July of 2017. So, Jeff Pagés, tell us a little bit more about what we know of Whitaker's views of Robert Mueller's investigation.
Well, we know what we've heard on television and what he said in an op-ed that he wrote as well. He said in the past, and this was before he became Sessions' chief of staff, that he thought any probe by the special counsel into the president's personal finances, well, that was essentially crossing a red line. So we know that. We know that he has this a view that you could end the investigation by cutting off its funding. And so he has expressed some views in the past about the Russia investigation that has now concern Democrats in Congress who feel that this shows that he has a conflict and that his views are in line with the president. Of course, the president wants this probe to end as soon as possible.
Right. And Whitaker said in a statement yesterday, though, that he says he's committed to leading a fair department with the highest ethical standards that upholds the rule of law, seeks justice for all Americans. I mean, first of all, just for clarity's sake, Jeff, though, Whitaker is not he hasn't been Senate vetted. Right. I mean, he was a chief of staff to Jeff Sessions, so he was never confirmed by the full Senate.
No, he has not been vetted by the full Senate, confirmed by the full Senate. And, you know, that's why this next lame duck session before the new Congress is sworn in is an interesting period for the Russia investigation. Is this a move by the president to take some sort of action against the Russia investigation before the new Congress and the Democratic House is sworn in? These are all questions that we're asking now that that Sessions is gone within hours of this change in leadership, essentially, in the House of Representatives. And so by appointing a new acting attorney general, Matt Whitaker, the president has now opened another can of worms in terms of what the future will be for the Mueller investigation.
And is it possible that through tools such as the Vacancies Reform Act I'm seeing of 1998, that the president could actually move any other administration official who's already been Senate vetted into the attorney general's position without a full new confirmation process?
Well, I think that is something that people are concerned about, depending on who you talk to. If you're talking to Democrats, of course, they are concerned about whether the president could do this. You know, obviously, you've heard the president say that he has the power to fire the special counsel. He has the power to take that sort of action. And so there will be a debate about whether he can make some sort of move that would shut it down. Or put someone in a position where they can avoid being vetted by the Senate, avoid going through a confirmation process. So that is the concern.
Margaret Talib, go ahead.
Well, and Jeff can help me on the details, but what by naming Mr. Whitaker to serve in this acting capacity and then putting Robert Mueller's fate in his hands rather than Rod Rosenstein's, the president has opened up a strategic play if he chose to use it, which is effectively ask Matt Whitaker to do his dirty work, which keeps the nomination process for a permanent successor kind of clean of this, what would inevitably be a series of hearings asking that nominee to make commitments about what he wouldn't commit to the process, to the Mueller probe, and to the longevity of that. Matt Whitaker can serve in this acting capacity for several months going forward, for the better part of, you know, the next year. Any president, the U.S. government has to have an attorney general at some point.
Right.
Any president has the right to nominate his own people, his own choices to those positions, as long as the Senate can confirm them. But what had always been kind of the conventional thinking about this, what Lindsey Graham had suggested, which is like anyone who's going to be nominated for attorney general would have to answer questions to the Senate satisfaction about their commitment to, you know, the rule of law and the Mueller probe and all this stuff. If this basically becomes Matt Whitaker's purview for the next several months and he makes a series of if he were to decide to make a series of decisions that favored kind of the president's thinking on the trajectory of the Mueller probe going forward, it would take that out of the confirmation process for the permanent successor, potentially.
Jeff, what do you think?
No, I agree wholeheartedly with that, because right now we're in a situation where you have a Senate that has essentially rubber stamped what the president has done. They have given him the green light to do that because the president now has more allies in the Senate. And of course, it would be the Senate that controls the confirmation process as well. So what Margaret discusses here, what talks about, is a legitimate issue as far as the future of the Russia investigation.
Right. So, Jeff, let me ask you, there's something of a wrinkle here, and I don't know how significant of a wrinkle it is, right? Because earlier this week, Vanity Fair first hinted at this, and then Politico added its reporting just yesterday saying that Donald Trump Jr., who obviously served as a key campaign surrogate for Republican candidates and for the president himself, has apparently told friends in recent weeks that he believes he could soon be indicted. Politico saying that they have one of those people told Politico that. Is there any validity to that? Are there legs to that? Could that be part of what drove the president's very quick decision following the midterms to oust Jeff Sessions?
It could be. Obviously, Donald Trump Jr. has been under scrutiny because of that meeting in Trump Tower over the summer of 2016, where he met with those Russian operatives. And soon after that, the president was talking about Hillary Clinton's emails and that there was a surprise coming. And then they stopped talking about it for whatever reason. But clearly, Donald Trump Jr. has been under scrutiny for months now. And perhaps he knows something that we don't know at this point. But that is sort of an open secret out there that the special counsel has been looking into his actions. For example, you know, who did he discuss what he learned from that meeting with? Did he take that information to his father? A lot of people who follow this investigation say that would be a logical next step, is that he would then inform his father. Well, that's one of the outstanding questions that we don't have an answer to. But there is a possibility that he could be someone that the special counsel perhaps indicts. We don't know. But at the very least, his actions have been under intense scrutiny.
Right. I mean, and if a sealed indictment doesn't already exist, this is one way in which Whitaker could step in immediately as overseeing the Mueller investigation. Right. He could just say no if Robert Mueller wants to indict Donald Trump Jr.
Well, the way this system has been working, according to our sources and our reporting, is that whoever is overseeing this Russia investigation has to approve the indictments, has to approve this process going forward. To this point, it has been the Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. So Matthew Whitaker, given the fact that he is now overseeing this investigation, he would theoretically have to sign off on that.
Right. Well, let's take a quick call here. Let's go to Aaron, who's calling from Detroit, Michigan. Aaron, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was going to say I was disturbed, but I want to change that to I'm saddened by how the American public in total, whether red, blue, state, whatever, has allowed the presidency and the president administration to manipulate everything into a party issue or a race issue or whatever, when it's obvious that he is just trying to cover up some wrongdoing that he has done. He has threatened anybody that might investigate him. He has fired anybody that might be getting close to anything. And how much more does he have to do before we recognize he's confessing to having done something wrong?
Well, Aaron, thank you so much for your call. Let's get an answer to Aaron's question from Mark Lauder, who joins us now from Arlington, Virginia. Mark Lauder is former spokesman for Vice President Pence, former special assistant to President Trump. He's also a Trump 2020 Advisory Council member. Mark Lauder, welcome to On Point.
Thank you for having me.
So, I mean, you heard our caller there, Aaron, say he believes all Americans should have a problem with the president's recent decision to push out Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Well, how do you respond to what Aaron says?
I think it's just forgetting history and standard that it is often that staff members, cabinet members depart an administration around the midterm point, after the midterms. It's happened under presidents of all political stripes. It's one of those things that we've always talked about. You hear it a lot in Hollywood portrayals of political service, is that people serve at the pleasure of the president in these roles. And so I think if the president wanted to make a choice and a change as the attorney general, we thank Jeff Sessions for his service, and he will and move on to have someone else serve in that role.
Now, have you had a chance, I mean, since you were former spokesman for both the vice president and a special assistant to the president himself, have you had a chance to talk to the president about this in the past day or two?
No, I have not, and obviously I know he's been very busy with the midterms and things. I've also been about the country here quite a bit, doing some other speaking engagements. So I've not had a chance to speak with him.
Okay, so it's always worth checking. So I thought I'd just ask you. But do you see the possibility, I mean, Democrats definitely feel this way, that there is a possibility that if the president or now acting attorney general Matt Whitaker takes steps to impede the Mueller investigation, that this could, you know, be as Senator Mark Warner of Virginia is calling that, a potential gross abuse of power by the president.
I think a lot of this this rhetoric is over the top. It's an opportunity for Democrats to bring Russia back into the conversation, because for the last 7-8 weeks, you really haven't heard anything about the investigation. It's something that they have tried to focus on for the last 2 years. And so all of this wild-eyed speculation and what ifs, I think, is just really a narrative to try to get it back into the news cycle. And I have a lot of faith and confidence in the people at not only at the White House, but in the Justice Department, the FBI, that they will continue to do their jobs on a day-to-day basis as they've been directed to do.
Mm. You know, it was last year where Senator Lindsey Graham said, if Jeff Sessions is fired, there'll be holy hell to pay, that any effort to go after Mueller could be the beginning of the end of the Trump presidency. Now, Senator Graham may not be feeling that way anymore, but a lot of people do. What's your reaction to that now, given that the attorney general has been forced out?
Well, I think a lot of that had to do with the timing that that was in question. You obviously had an administration that was just a few months into its existence. You had Director Mueller having been recently appointed as the head of that investigation within the past couple of months. But we're now 2 years into this. This is a natural time for there to be transition and turnover in the administration. And also, there are a lot of people out there who said that this investigation has now gone on for 18 months or so. And yet, what have we seen from it? We've not seen any kind of evidence that there was collusion. The president has insisted clearly that there was no collusion. And so far, there's still been no evidence that's shown that.
Well, Mark Lauder, former spokesman for Vice President Pence and former special assistant to President Trump, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Margaret Taleb, what do you think? I mean, Mark Lauder's making the point there that it's been a couple of years now. And as you heard, this is a line of reasoning we've heard from Republicans pretty consistently, quote, no evidence of collusion thus far.
Well, I'm going to unpack what Mark Lauder said in a few different trenches. One is
I do have to go though.
I think that's Jeff Pegues. Are you Jeff? Were you trying to talk to us?
I'm sorry.
Sorry for
the interruption.
That's quite all right. It's it's the joys of, as you know, live broadcasting, Jeff. So don't worry. No worries. Margaret, go ahead.
One is we don't yet have the conclusions of Robert Mueller's investigation. And in the absence of that, you can't make any statements about what's been ruled out. We have no idea what he's ruled out and what he's found yet, other than the pleas or indictments that have been secured during the process so far. So the second is that is it true that that the president has the right to name and to let go of his attorneys general? Sure. It's also true that President Trump wanted to get rid of Jeff Sessions months ago and has been thinking about it for months, and that the reason that he waited until after the election is because basically the Senate Republicans told him, you can do whatever you want after the election, but please don't do this before the election. And so I think that the timing of Jeff Sessions' departure has less to do with the Democratic takeover of the House and much more to do with the fact that a line in the sand that Senate Republicans had drawn for the president was, you have the right to do this. Don't do it until after we have tried to minimize our losses in the House, tried to maximize our expansion in the Senate. Give us a little bit of political space before you go doing something that it's going to have political ramifications. And now here we are.
Well, Jeff Pegues, I know it's a busy day for anyone covering the Justice Department, so I'm going to let you go here as we approach the break. But I want to ask you one last quick question here. Do any of your sources know? I mean, one big question is a report from Robert Mueller forthcoming, you know, in the next couple of weeks, months even? Do we have any sense?
Well, let me first apologize
for my outburst
interrupting Margaret. But that is what we've been waiting for. I mean, we suspected that there would be a pause leading up to the midterms, because that's a big Department of Justice no-no that, of course, James Comey violated, and the FBI and the Department of Justice is still trying to recover from that. So we suspected that there would be a pause and that now, after the midterms, would be a period when there would be more public activity from the special counsel. So that is what we are anticipating.
Well, Jeff Pegues, CBS News Justice and Homeland Security correspondent and author of Compromat, How Russia Undermined American Democracy. Jeff, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
And we're going to take a lot more calls when we come back from this break. We're talking about the ouster of now former Attorney General Jeff Sessions and what that means for the Mueller investigation. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point. This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking about the ouster of Attorney General Jeff Sessions and what that means for the Mueller investigation. I'm joined today by Margaret Taleb. She's a senior White House correspondent for Bloomberg News and also a board member and past president of the White House Correspondents Association and the Washington Press Club Foundation. She's currently a fellow at Harvard Kennedy School's Institute of Politics. And Margaret, I just want to play a little clip here for you. I referenced it in the last segment about what Senator Lindsey Graham said last year, July of 2017, when there was a concern that the president might push out Jeff Sessions here. So the senator made a long series of comments talking a lot about why he disagreed with that move if the president were to make it then. But so here's a section of it where he says that he has a message for Jeff Sessions himself and for the country. But again, this is Lindsey Graham, July 2017.
This effort to basically marginalize and humiliate the Attorney General is not going over well in the Senate. I don't think it's going over well in the conservative world. If you believe Jeff Sessions should be fired, use the power you have and accept the consequences. I hope it stops. I'm 100% behind Jeff Sessions. If Jeff Sessions is fired, there will be holy hell to pay. Any effort to go after Mueller could be the beginning of the end of the Trump presidency, unless Mueller did something wrong. Right now, I have no reason to believe that Mueller is compromised. If you got reason to believe he is compromised and shouldn't be serving as special counsel, let me know.
That's South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, July of last year.
Yep.
Now, of course, this Senator Graham has very closely aligned himself with the president on repeated occasions since then. But that discomfort that you heard him talk about, that a lot of conservatives have or had then, yep, about the president possibly firing Jeff Sessions, is that discomfort still there amongst Republican senators?
Yeah, we notably haven't heard Lindsey Graham use the phrase, yeah, holy hell to pay. In the last 24 hours. And his apparent evolution over the course of the last year has been certainly great fodder for speculation, particularly after his sort of tangential comments in the Kavanaugh hearing process. So there's been a lot of attempts to read the tea leaves on what's Lindsey Graham really trying to do. Is he trying to, does he want to be the attorney general? And then, like, what kind of attorney general would he be? And he seems to be saying now that's not what he's doing. He intends to stay in the Senate. But I say three things to consider. One, a lot of the senators' trepidation over this was political, about the impacts that it would have on the midterm elections. Right. I'm sorry to be crass about it, but it's just true. That issue is done now. Okay, so it's done.
You mean politics plays into what senators say in Washington?
I think there was a concern. There has been a concern among many Republican lawmakers on both sides of the aisle also about the separation of powers, about containing executive power, even when it's a president in their same party. There are several lawmakers who either are lawyers or just think about these issues and have been very uncomfortable with the president overstepping his bounds. But part of it also was about Mueller's investigation being able to go forward.
Right.
And one of the things that's happened between last year and this year is a year. It's been a year's worth of time, and there's been several developments. Now, you can argue this both ways. You can also argue the developments have been significant and important and have told us a lot about concerns about corruption or misuse of power or just what actually happened, not matching the initial accounts of what happened. Mm-hmm. The president can say in his public discourse that nothing has been turned up and that there's no collusion. But actually, a lot of stuff has been turned up and a lot of it has led to, consequences in court. And so what you're asking is if the president tried to put the hammer down now on Mueller in a way that he was politically unwilling to do a year ago, would the Republican majority in the Senate push back
right.
the same way they might have a year ago?
Yeah, and just to underscore what you're saying, I mean, we have a cascade of indictments and guilty pleas
yes.
Amongst people who are very close, at one time to the president's
own inner circle. Yep.
All right. Well, let's go to Anne, who's calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Anne, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I think the president is trying to put a stop to Mr. Mueller and his investigation because he's afraid of what is lurking underneath the rocks that Mr. Mueller and his team are turning over. I'm 65 years old, and I am appalled on a daily basis as to what this president says and does, including his press secretary, the Senate. I'm ashamed to be an American. I really am.
Hmm.
I wouldn't admit to anyone if I was in another country that I was an American. I'd say I was Canadian or from another country. Trump is appalling. I have a bumper sticker in my car that has a picture of his face and it says fake president.
Oh, wow.
How I feel.
Anne, thank you so much for your honesty there and for your call. Let's get a different view. Mike is calling from Athol, Massachusetts. Mike, you're on the air.
Hi, Magna. Thanks for taking my call. I think that Trump has an obligation to fire Sessions because I think from the beginning that Sessions has been a weak attorney general. He hasn't done anything with the border security or the Russian collusion, which right now there hasn't been found any collusion by the president. There has been other implications otherwise. I don't like what this president says and does a lot. I agree with his policies that have changed the state of the country, that it's going in the right direction. I don't like what he tweet. If he just shut up, maybe things would be better for this country.
Yeah.
But he just can't.
Hey, Mike, can I just ask you a quick question here? Sorry to interrupt you, but I want to ask you a quick question because you were talking about how you saw Jeff Sessions as being a weak attorney general. But I would say, don't you think that in terms of border security or immigration, that Sessions was one of the strongest supporters of the president's policies? I mean, he's the one who helped enact that family enforce that family separation policy. That got a lot of people's attention about what was happening with parents and children of undocumented immigrants at the border. Was that not strong enough?
But I don't think he knew what he was doing by doing that. I mean, during the Obama administration, they separated children and everything. And then during this administration, I guess they thought it was okay to do that. And I don't think Sessions went the right way or knew what he was doing. I think listening to him and vocabulary and watching him from the get-go, I think he has been weak.
Mm.
I think the president should not appoint Whitaker as the full attorney general. I think he should appoint someone like Trey Gowdy. Trey Gowdy is a straight shooter. He's down to earth. He's one of the people, and he pulls no punches. And
yeah.
he speaks his mind.
Well,
and I think that Trey Gowdy would be an outstanding AG.
Mike, thank you so much for your call. Margaret Taleb, what do you hear in a view such as Mike's from Athol, Massachusetts?
Well, there are a number of names that we're hearing now floated and that we've seen cropping up across the country as people who could be potential replacements for the attorney general, everyone from Rudy Giuliani and Chris Christie to folks like Alex Azar, the HHS secretary, to appellate judges or people with appellate experience like Janice Rogers Brown, men, women, people who conservatives like, people who have been basically television pundits and political pundits in favor of the president, people who come from swing states. So I think that is going to be a political decision that, and the president's calculation ultimately is going to break down along the lines of who can be confirmed. Can anyone be confirmed? Mm-hmm. Could Kris Kobach get confirmed even after losing the Kansas governor's race, even after that, you know, quote, voter fraud commission? So those are political decisions. But also, what kind of an attorney general does he want?
Right.
But I still go back to the fact that I'm not sure that that will have a direct bearing on what happens with the Mueller probe and the conclusion of that process, because I think he can leave his acting attorney general, or will try to leave, and there may be legal challenges to that. Is, does Whitaker actually have the power to serve in that function? Like, someone may try to challenge that. But guess what? That challenge is going to go up through the court system, which increasingly over the last 2 years has been filled with judges who are sympathetic to or come from, you know, what is perceived as a side that's friendlier to President Trump and to the Republican Party.
And it's so interesting. I mean, those challenges may center around the fact that Jeff Sessions, in his resignation letter, saying I'm resigning at your request. So there are legal implications of whether or not he resigned truly or was fired.
And to some of the processes that Rosenstein set up in establishing the ground rules for the special counsel. But ultimately, the legal question is going to be, is all of that under the purview of the acting attorney general? And ultimately, is all of that under the purview of the president? Is that does the president have the right to decide the parameters of the special counsel's investigation? And if he doesn't, who's going to say it?
Right.
Is Congress going to say it?
Who knows? Let's go to Mark, who's calling from Newport, Rhode Island. Mark, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. What's changed? Nothing has changed. 6-8 months ago, everybody, Republican, Mitch McConnell said, 8 months ago, Republicans said, if he fires that attorney general, it's going to be the Saturday Night Massacre of Nixon. Now, Nixon had a head do it, and he simply fired him. It's all being very stealthy. One thing about Donald Trump is, we play cards, me and my six friends, me and my five other friends. There's three Republicans and three Democrats, and we play cards every night. My three Republican friends who like Trump, but they goof. We kind of goof on the guy. He's like, you know, they're goofing on him. Now they go away after we play cards, and they're going to vote for Trump and love him for his brashness and crass. Right. He is the all statesmen of Jefferson and Lincoln. They're rolling over in their graves. He's such a bad. He's just something else. And see, what's happening right now is you guys are going, instead of, you know, you're doing scenarios now. Okay, well, we got this guy who was not who was never confirmed by the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
This guy who was the chief of staff of Sessions.
Yeah. So Mark, I'm going to just jump in here for a second. Forgive me, but I'm just curious where you're going with this, because I mean we're not necessarily speculating. We're trying to analyze what the events of the past 24 hours. But do you have a question or a final thought here for us? Because I got to go turn back to Margaret Talib.
It's sort of a statement and question.
Okay.
My trip is that when we talk about one thing about Donald Trump, it brings us back to all these other things. There's the elephant in the room is Donald Trump. He's just sophomoric.
Yeah.
I believe that he has the intellect of about a 12 or 14-year-old boy.
Well, Mark, thank you for your call there and for your perspective. You know, Margaret Talib, we could continue to take lots of calls on this issue, because obviously anything associated with the president and the Mueller investigation really draws out a lot of very powerful thoughts and feelings in people. But we've only got a couple of minutes left here, and I want to just switch gears a little bit and lean on your experience as a former president of the White House Correspondents Association. Because, you know, just yesterday with the president's remarkable press conference that he gave, there's a couple of moments that came out of that I want to talk to you about and get your view on it. First of all, there was an interesting exchange between President Trump and Michelle Sindor, who's with PBS's NewsHour. She asked him about whether or not nationalism should be seen as white nationalism. And they had a quite a pointed exchange, and here it is.
On the campaign trail, you called yourself a nationalist. Some people saw that as emboldening white nationalists. Now people are also saying
that That's such a racist question.
There are some people that say that now the Republican Party is seen as supporting white nationalists because of your rhetoric.
What do you make of that? I don't believe it. I don't know. Why do I have my highest poll numbers ever with African Americans? Why do I have among the highest poll numbers with African Americans? I mean, why do I have my highest poll numbers? That's such a racist question.
So that was just one moment of a couple where the president really pushed back hard against reporters for asking, I think this question in particular is on a lot of people's minds. When the president embraced nationalism a couple weeks ago, you know, he says the very fact that she's asking it is a racist question.
So obviously it wasn't a racist question. It was a completely appropriate question. But the president used rhetoric and his bully pulpit to try to make a point, and that's within his right to do. Even if, as you're listening, you're kind of scratching your head, going, "What?" But she held her own in the exchange and moved on and kept asking him questions of substance. And she addressed this on Twitter and basically said, "You know, we're professionals, and it's my job to ask questions." And I kept asking questions.
Yeah. All right. So then the other moment.
Yeah,
this
there
one
was
happened
another
too
moment.
With Jim Acosta and the president. Here's a little section of that.
Mr. President, if I may ask
Peter,
one other question, are you worried?
That's enough. That's enough.
Mr. President, I was going to ask one of the other folks.
That's enough.
Pardon me, ma'am.
That's enough.
Mr. President, I had one other
Peter,
question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned?
All right, so that went on and on. And, of course, Kellyanne Conway and other Republicans later on accused Sarah Huckabee Sanders, I should say, accused Jim Acosta of, quote-unquote, assaulting the White House intern who tried to take the microphone back from him. They've since taken away his hard pass for the White House.
Right. So two things happened. One is that the White House put out a statement that was misleading in nature and suggested that that Jim was an aggressor in some sort of inappropriate way. And in fact, if you watch the actual video, I was not in the room yesterday. I was here in Boston. If you watch the actual video or talk to people who were there, you can see that he was hanging onto a microphone that someone who works for the White House came and tried to grab away from him. Now, is it appropriate for the president in taking questions and answers to say that's enough and to decline to answer other questions? Sure. Is it appropriate for the White House to seize the hard pass to obstruct daily access to the White House to someone because the president wants to spar with him and considers him a critic? No. The White House Correspondents Association has put out a statement condemning the White House's approach, and I stand with that. It's a not an appropriate response. Those hard passes are meant to ease the daily access to someone who has passed security checks. Jim Acosta has certainly done that, and this is a moment that not just all reporters, but all Americans should be really concerned about and stand together against.
Margaret Taleb, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.